Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Have you noticed that people are different? Have you noticed or no? Is that new to you or no? Did you notice? Did you know that different isn't wrong? People being different than you are not people being wrong and you right. I'm not telling you to get up, Sarah. Your husband can go get the baby. I don't know. Well, they'll find him. I'm sorry. I'm just talking to my friend here. People can be different and still be okay. People can be different and still be okay, second row. Since, amen? People can be different and be okay. That sounds so basic, right? I don't know why that's so difficult for the church. Like, there's so much to Jesus, we can all be just like him and be completely different. I mean, there's only so much we can see at any given moment, right? He's so amazing and he so overwhelms all of our senses at once. There's only so much we can perceive, right? You ever had God talk to you, like, so very clearly? Anybody remember God just spoke so very clearly to you? And then you went to tell somebody what he said and you couldn't figure out exactly what it was he said? You're like, I know it, but I'm not able to really say, like, it was, he spoke to me, like, what'd he say? Well, right? Like, you don't even know the words. He spoke one sentence. You can't even say the words. Just because a sentence that Jesus speaks is more overwhelming than you can describe. Right? The fact that these guys can write a Bible amazes me. It's just amazing. The amount that they were able to put on paper, that shows you the anointing on their life. But we have one Jesus came and lived the earth, right? He actually lived the earth. You know, I met the Antichrist this week? Did I mention that? Did I tell you that story? Okay, let me back up. I met a man who told me he was the Antichrist. He was having some mental health issues because I kept telling him he wasn't the Antichrist and he wasn't really hearing it. And then he told me he killed Jesus. And I said, no. I said, really, you know, all of our sin did, but no, you didn't. I said, you know, Jesus is alive. He said, no, he's not. Like, he really is. And he's dead. Yeah, and then he rose. Like, we were having this conversation. And I mean, you just got to engage the Antichrist every now and then, right? Like, I know you think that you're the world power, but I'm not impressed. I just feel like, you know, if you were able to kill Jesus, they wouldn't be able to keep you in a hospital bed. You know what I mean? Like, I just have a feeling that if you were the Antichrist, be a little more impressive, right? Like, I don't know why I just told you that. Travis is with me. We were having a good time with this guy who was not the Antichrist. We were going to cast it out of him, but I needed to go to lunch. Right? I mean, like, I had somewhere to be. And so he was different, but that's not the different I'm talking about. Right? That's not the different we're going for. The different we're going for is what God actually created us to be. Amen? That's a difference. That's a different we're going for. And let me tell you what we're trying to accomplish here at Revival Life Church. You know what we're going for here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was in boot camp, right? And my company commander had this insult he would give us. He would say, come here, clone. I'm like, wait a minute. You've done everything you can to make me just like everybody else. And then you call me clone. Is that good or bad? I didn't know. I couldn't figure it out. Is that good? Like, you make my haircut just like they make me wear the same clothes? Make me say the same word, then you call me clone. Which is it? Am I a clone? Is that, I don't know. Is this bad or good? I don't get it. And in the church, we kind of want everybody to be clones. And I don't get it. What we're trying to do at Revival Life Church is I'm not trying to clone anybody. Now, if I was slightly more impressed with myself, I would try to clone myself. I'm not all that impressed with me. And if you are, just talk to my wife a little bit. She's I've said this before. They say behind every great man is a woman rolling her eyes. Right? You got to have somebody in your life who's not impressed with you. That's easier for some of us than others. Right? And so we're trying to build a movement here. Right? And the movement, if we were trying to pump out clones, that's easier. Because then we could tell you what to look like, how to live, what gifts are important, which ones aren't as important, what your goal is in life, right? And it's a little more difficult when the point of the movement is for everybody to be who God created them to be. Because what that means is you have to own who you're called to be. And you can't, it's not my job to tell you who you're supposed to be. And it's not my job to tell you how to act. And it's not my job to tell you what you're supposed to be doing. And it's not my job to tell you what's important and what's not important. It's my job to teach you how to hear Jesus, to get yourself healed up on the inside, heal life hurts so you can actually be brave and be the person God has called you to be. That's the goal here. And what that takes is a company of powerful people who will own their own calling and own their own mistakes, will clean up their own messes, but will go after unashamedly their own victories. I like me. I really do. I think I'm an all right person. You hear what I'm saying? I don't think I got to put myself down for God to get big. Right? Isaac doesn't make me look good. My son, Isaac, doesn't make me look good by saying that he's a piece of dirt, therefore I'm a great dad. That doesn't make me a good dad. A confident son who can be who he was created to be makes me look like a good dad. Right, and we're here to make our dad look good. And we don't do that by, you know, I'm a wicked sinner who would cheat on my wife in a second if God didn't keep me from doing that. That doesn't make me a good person. Does that make sense? Am I a wicked sinner? No, I really believe that I've been bought by the blood. I've been washed clean. I'm, you know, if I am, I need to repent, right? I believe that my Father has empowered me to live a holy life. Because he's amazing, right? And so he's empowered you. And part of this movement, which the Lord has been showing me with amazing visions where we're going as a house and as a movement, is to find people. Some don't know God and some are bound in religion to let them know, listen, you're called to be a mother and a father. You're called to be a rock that other people can build upon. Your life was created to matter. Your life was created to matter. But it may look very different than my life. Amen? I'm having a hard time right now because I'm kind of seeing into the Spirit and talking to you at the same time, and I'm being very distracted. So please just forgive me. I've had some encounters with Jesus lately, and they're on the forefront of my mind, and I pray you have them also. And so when I start lapsing off, you're more distracted by Jesus than you are by my being distracted. Amen? But let's turn in our Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to try to get through this quickly. And as you turn there, I got rocked last night. Heidi Baker meeting we were at last night was... they're having a gang fight in Revival Kids Junior, I think. They're, I don't know what. Someone's getting jumped into the church. I don't know what's happening. What church you claim? Crack. I'm sorry. Sorry. Ephesians chapter 4. He says, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, were Ephesians 4, 11. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. If you're taking notes, here's the first thing I want you to write down. Might sound elementary, but we're being equipped, ready, to serve. We're being equipped to serve. We're not being equipped to rule. We're not being equipped to be kings. We're being equipped to serve. Are you hearing me? We're being equipped to serve. There's four words in the New Testament that are being translated as service, right? If you read the Old King Jimmy Bible, it's like it says, for the equipping of the saints for the works of ministry, right? Others, it's the equip the saints for the works of service, and there's various other translations that have very different words. But that root word there about to serve, that we're being the thing that we're being equipped to do, is serve. Now, that there's four words, Greek words in the New Testament that are translated serve or service, all right? The first one is diakonia. I think we have it up there, diakonia, and I'm sure you pronounce that differently. That comes from the same Greek word that means like to run errands or to wait on someone, kind of like be a waiter. That's where we get the word deacon from, to be a waiter. Because literally, they were feeding people, and you know who brings the food to people who are being fed? Waiters. And so they said, hey, we don't have time to serve food. Get some people you trust to be waiters, to bring food, buy food, use the money, and buy food, right? And so now today in churches, we have waiters, people who are assigned to be waiters, but they're not serving food. Doesn't really make any sense, right? Waiters, this wasn't a leadership position who elects the pastor, right? This was a group of people who were entrusted to buy food with the money that was offered and take care of the widows, right? So, okay, that's the first one, diakonia, which I'm sure I'm pronouncing incorrectly. The second one is even less likely that I'll pronounce correctly. It's doulio. It's D-O-U-L-E, U with a thing and O with a thing, right? I don't even know. It's like looks Portuguese. I don't even know what that is, right? But it comes from, if you see it in Galatians 4:8, you can look at it later, and it means to be a slave. Literally, I have come to be a servant, like to be a slave, right? So that's the other word for service, right? The third one is latria, which is where they get the word liturgy from. And that means like in Romans 9:4, where you serve in the temple, you do religious service, right? So we got religious service. And the fourth one is another one that starts with an L, liturgia. And that means to perform a religious or charitable act, right? And that's what, like when Paul says, like, I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of the saints, right? So here's the four ways that service is used in the New Testament. Now, I'm coming a little bit against the traditional church and what I have seen in charismania, where we start exalting people as kings because they have a gift. People want to be equipped for ministry because they want to be a king. But in the scripture here, the service is not the religious service, not the liturgical service, not even to be a slave. It means to be a waiter. We're being equipped to serve people. We're being equipped to serve people. We are being equipped to serve. Early in my walk, I spent way too much time trying to get the man of God to lay hands on me so I could be somebody. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you. You feel called to do something, and you want the man of God to lay hands on you so you could be somebody. And what I have found is, if you decide to serve somebody, God will anoint you to serve them. He will literally supply all your needs through his riches in Christ Jesus, right? He will equip you to serve somebody. If you want the presence of God, this is manipulative, but if you want the presence of God in your life, go out and start witnessing to people. Because Holy Ghost will absolutely show up because he wants to see people get saved. That is the purest form of Christianity, is to win people to Christ. It's so pure. You win people to Jesus, Holy Spirit will show up. He has to show up because you can't do it but by Holy Spirit. I can feed hungry people without the Holy Ghost. I can love on people without the Holy Ghost. They're both better with the Holy Ghost, but you can do both without. You cannot get people saved without the Holy Ghost. It's impossible for them to confess Jesus Christ as Lord without the Spirit, right? And so when you decide to get active in the ministry of God, when you decide to get active in the service of God, then Jesus will see your heart and he will anoint you to do it. He doesn't come put a crown on you so you can be a king. And the man of God doesn't come giving out crowns so you can be someone important. The pure flow comes from people who want to serve. God will come give you whatever you need to do that. Does that make sense? Now, this model of being a servant, again, if you have notes, you can fill this in. The model servant is Jesus. He's the one we want to be like. Can you say amen? Our model servant is Jesus. We want to be just like Jesus, don't you? I want to be just like my Jesus. I want to love just like Jesus. I want to love just like him. I want to serve just like Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of people want to be Peter and more than they want to be Jesus. They want to be Paul more than they want to be Jesus. They want to be Daniel more than they want to be Jesus. They want to be the prophet more than they want to be Jesus. They want to be someone important. They don't necessarily want to lay down their life. Hear me. I want you to be everything God has called you to be, and I don't want you to build it on sand. We want this built on a rock that'll withstand the storm. Amen? It says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, if anybody is worthy to be served, it's Jesus. If anybody was worthy to be served, it was the sinless one who put on corruption to serve us. And yet he did not come to be served, but to serve. How did he serve? He laid his life down. That means there's nothing we can do that was greater than what he did. It's impossible to out Jesus' ministry. I hear a lot of people claiming greater things that we're going to do. And I'm thinking, what do you call greater? Because I know what he calls greater. He says, there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for another. And you're going to do greater than he did. And people call that, you know, they allude to being rich and famous. I'm going to do greater works. And let's say he bore all our sin on a cross. What's that mean? I just have something to think about. But Jesus came to serve, and it's our call to serve. So many people don't tap into Jesus' joy and his peace and his love because they don't tap into his purpose. They don't tap into his call. They don't tap into what he came for. He came to serve. He came to lay his life down. He said, look, you want to be great? That's so awesome. He blessed their wanting to be great. They were arguing, the disciples, about who was going to be greatest. And Jesus did not rebuke them for arguing about being great. He didn't rebuke their pride. He didn't say, you're rotten because you want to be great. What's wrong with you? At all. He's like, you want to be great? He knew that was their call. Here's how you'd be great. I know you want to be great. That's how the world gets great. Let me tell you how to become great. Serve one another. And you might think he's saying, he's told him, you know, quit thinking. No. Literally, they became great. We're still reading about them 2,000 years later. They did become great. We can't touch what they did. They became, what did they do? But they tapped into Jesus' call to serve one another. And then they became great. You see, Jesus said this and then he modeled what serving looked like. You're not called to do any of the things you're called to do in your own strength. You're called to supernatural serving. You're called to serve beyond your capacity to serve. And that doesn't mean get exhausted. That means we're called to serve in a capacity that we can't do it without his hand upon our lives. You're like, well, I just like to love on people. Well, praise God. You love on them and watch what God could do through your healed heart. I just want to feed hungry people, man. It hurts me to see anybody hungry. Watch how God multiplies food in your life. I just like to, you know, help people get a leg up. Watch how he blesses your finances as you give people a leg up. I mean, this is, you're called to supernaturally. Supernaturally. He puts this desire in your heart, and you could do it in your own strength your whole life. And God will bless that, you know. Or you can go out in faith and watch what he does with that desire in your heart. Are you with me? And so he said, listen, in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, listen, you're called to do amazing things. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to ascend into heaven, and I'm going to give gifts so they can equip you to do these amazing things that you're called to do. Literally, that's what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4. We can't say who ascended, but he who descended and all that. There is somebody, woo, that boy could scream. We bless the prophetic voice and Revival Kids Jr., hallelujah. But listen, he said, listen, if you're going to get equipped, it's going to be through these five giftings. These gifts are people, right? In Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, we talked about, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit in the church, right? Romans chapter 12 talks about the gifts of the Father. But here in Ephesians 4, we hear the gifts of the Son. And these gifts of the Son are people. These people are gifts to the church. And when you recognize them as gifts, you get equipped to do God stuff. It is what it is. Now, Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, knew that if he had one person do everything, they would make themselves a king. Because we have corrupt flesh and we're woefully prideful and we really like to feel like we're important. Can I be honest? I don't know about you. I remember like the first time I saw somebody really get healed. Like maybe the first, second, third time, and you get a little flow, and you're like, I'm going to go empty out a hospital. I'm probably going to go around the world in an amazing, I mean, like one person's headache goes away. I'm going to be the cure for AIDS. I'm going to heal the world. Like, and then God's like, yeah, no, probably not, you know. Not with that attitude. Probably not. Right? Because, you know, we get ahead of ourselves, right? And so he's like, you know, if I had one person do all this, probably get to their head. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to split it into five people. No one's going to have all of it, right? I'm going to split it up a little bit. Kind of keep a little balance happening here. Are you with me? Are you tracking with me here? Are we on the same page? He's like, so I got to split it up a little bit here. Put Ephesians 4:11 back up, if you would, please. He says, he gave some, say some. Some as apostles, some prophets, and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. So what Jesus said was, I'm going to send these people And they are going to equip you for the work of service. Now, we all need all five. We all need all five. I need all five. You need all five. We all need all five. And God will use various people in these functions in your life. Some of them are very strong. Some are not as strong. This is why I go and position myself around people who are pretty clear in the gifts so I can get activated in them. I draw from them. Some I have stronger gifting in, so it's easier for me to draw from. Others, they don't resonate as much with me. And probably with you. They don't resonate as much with me. But that doesn't mean I don't need them. I need them all the more because I got nothing of what they got. Because I don't have anything of what they have. But see, Jesus is just, he's just brilliant. He had everything figured out here, right? All right. Okay, I'm almost finished. Jesus said, the people wanted some commandments, right? They wanted some rules. Track with me for a second. They wanted some rules. Jesus said, you want rules? I got rules for you. I got some rules for you. Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. You can write it down. I believe it's at the bottom of your paper there. He says, you want some rules? I got rules for you. He says, you shall love your, well, the first one isn't on there, 38. He says, shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your might, and all your strength. The second one is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. Would you admit that loving God is pretty important? Pretty important. If you got nothing else right, you need to get that right. Wouldn't we say? You got to love God. Yeah? You got to love him more than money. You got to love him more than anything. I mean, it's like a really, really big deal that people love God. Yeah? What's right under that? Loving other people. So we kind of put it like this. You have to love God, love God, love God, love God. And hey, don't be mean to people. Jesus said, I got two rules for you. Love God. And we say, well, if I got 50% right, that's probably pretty good, right? No, I got two rules. And that means these are what you have to keep. Love God, love people. Now, the enemy is not stupid. He's kind of stupid, but he knows what works, right? Hear me on this. He knows that nothing can separate you from the love of God. But it's easy to separate you from people. It's really easy to separate you from people. And so every time there's a great move of God in the New Testament, it's when people come together. And so all the enemy has to do to stop a move of God is separate people. Just not that complicated, right? And so Jesus sends these five people that says, if you're going to get fully equipped for the work of ministry, you need these five. And so people are like, I don't like him. He preaches too loud. Yeah, he's a prophet. That's kind of what they do sometimes. I don't like what he's doing over there. He's getting altar calls all the time. Yes, an evangelist. That's how they work. Come on, stop talking about felt needs. We need to talk about the kingdom. But he's a pastor. That's what pastors do. Why are you talking about heaven all the time? We should be talking about evangelism. Well, he's an apostle. That's kind of where they come from. Right? Instead of appreciating everybody and their giftings that they're bringing to the table, we decide, well, I don't like cranberry sauce, so we're not going to invite Aunt Sue to Thanksgiving. I like turkey, so we're only inviting people who bring turkey. And what happens is we come around the table and we don't have a meal. And so we separate ourselves. Like, well, I feel called to evangelism. Where's the evangelistic church? Where's the prophetic church? Where's the apostolic church? Where's the pastoral church? I need one. I need a good family church where I just feel, well, Mom, no, maybe not. If you're such an evangelist, maybe you need to be in the pastoral church. Maybe they need what you have. Maybe you're called to not sit around the same people all the time. Maybe we're supposed to be the body. I like cranberry sauce, but I like potatoes too, and I like them with gravy, and I like turkey, and I like a little salad, and I like the little celery things with the blue cheese thing inside of it. I like that. I like the angel eggs, right? I like them. I like them. I want somebody to bring them all. Are you with me? You feel what I'm saying? Write this down. The goal is unity, not uniformity. The goal is unity, not uniformity. We don't have to be the same. But you know what we have to do? We have to honor the leaders God placed in our life. And we can be different, but we have to honor. God sends some people. He sends direction for where the bus is going. I'm driving the bus here, right? I get the route from Jesus. Holy Ghost tells me the route we're on. It's my job to tell you where this bus is going and give you full opportunity to get off whenever you want. You can get off the bus whenever you want. We're not going to, oh, sweet Jesus. You ever been in a, I don't even want to say that. I'll say it anyways. You ever been in a church where they curse people who leave? Like they're all great members and all that, and then they leave. Like, well, you know he was in sin, right? Like, why are we, what? If you haven't been in that church, just thank Jesus. You do know you had a problem with pornography, right? Like, why are we gossiping about people when they leave? Why is this happening? Why are we doing... Only people I've kicked out of this church is people who wouldn't stop gossiping. No, really. Like, you have to leave now. No. Afuera. Because the goal here is unity. The goal is unity in the church. If we could be unified, there's nothing we can't accomplish. Enemy knows that, so he tries to sow all kind of nonsense. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. Can we do that? Whew. Don't gossip about other leaders. Don't gossip. Just don't. You don't know those people were called to. You don't know. Put it this way. If you don't like a ministry and Jesus not called you to be their pastor, and you'll know you're called to be their pastor because they'll call you pastor, then keep their name out your mouth. Stop it. I meet people who hate Joel Osteen. I'm like, how do you figure that you have a wisdom that 100,000 people in his church don't have? Wow, that's amazing. You must have an amazing apostolic ministry. Oh, you don't. Maybe it's because you gossip about people who have 100,000 member churches. I don't know. You may not have quite a high call as you think you have. I'm sorry. That's not what I meant to say. Ephesians chapter 1, are you with me here? I'm bringing it to a close. Oh, Jesus, I'm a little... What did she call it? Prickly? Is that what Heidi called it? Prickly? A little prickly today. Huh? Rascally. Ephesians chapter 1. I mean, 4, chapter 1. You there? We're just going to read through this very quickly. I want you to see something here, right? Now, keep this in mind. It's verse 11 and 12 that he talks about the fivefold giftings, right? But we're going to start at verse 1, all right? All right? You with me? We're going to scan through this. I'm not reading it all. We're going to scan through it, but I want you to see some stuff, right? So get your finger ready to look. Verse 1, Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, I want you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. That alone, if you just do that, your life might change, right? Walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Verse 2, showing tolerance for one another in love. Verse 3, preserve the unity of the Spirit. Verse 4, one body, one Spirit, one hope. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. 6, one God and Father of all, right? Then he goes on to 11 and says, since there's all these one, unity is important. One God, one thing we're all called to. Then he says, there's five giftings. He talks about the five-fold ministry through the lens of, I need you to understand there's one body. One body, right? And then he says in verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. He sandwiches these five giftings, both sides, with unity. We're all called to be one. And we get this message, we pluck out the five, then we see the five, we pluck out one of the five, we decide, no, that's it, I'm just supposed to be this. It's like, have you read the whole chapter, church? You are called to be different, and it's okay. We can be one and be different. Amen. Give it up for Jesus. We can be different and be one. You can be different here and be one. Different and one. Different and one. That means we're going to have to own our own behavior, own our identity. We can't act like the apostle and consider ourselves holy. Can't act like the prophet. And I mean, anyway. Sweet Jesus, thank you, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm feeling a little frisky right now and a little rascally. I hate heavy-handed ministry. I hate when people try to tell you what you're supposed to do with your life. I abhor it. Listen, stop sinning. I'll tell you that. I don't have a problem with that, right? Love Jesus. I don't have a problem with that. What that expression looks like, you have to own. Because the world does not need 150 of me. Your world needs you and who you're called to be. Right? There is a baby who has been screaming the entire service in Revival Kids Jr. You know what? I wouldn't have lasted in there. It's not Noah. Corey wants me to say it's not his child. The whole time. I remember when our kids were young and you'd hear like a crash in the other room. You're like, where are my kids? Oh, it's not the boy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Any parents know what I'm talking about? You're like, oh, you get tense. He's like, oh, it's not mine. Who cares? It's no longer bothering me. Parents know what I'm talking about. I don't know what that has to do with anything right now. Mike, can you come up and play a little bit for me? Here's what I want to do. Arebuka tarabashan tere. I'm going to let you all go in about 4 minutes. So just give me a second here. And then I'm probably going to, you know, what I'd like to do is dismiss people who need to go somewhere. And then I like to, you know, either worship or pray. So just give me a second. I want everybody in this room, I'm passionate. I'm absolutely passionate about people encountering their call. I'm passionate about people seeing it. I'm passionate about it. I mean, I am passionate about connecting people to Jesus more than I am about, you know, building a thing, gathering a crowd, building, you know, the name for our ministry. I am passionate about getting you into your call. Passionate about it, whether it benefits me or not. You know, I venture to say I have a mansion in heaven. I'm building something on that side of eternity for myself, not this side. And so the fear is, you know, I'm different than the pastor. I won't fit in here because I can't be like that. I need to go. No, you can be exactly what you're called to be here. I want you to want that as bad as I want it for you. As bad as the leaders in this church want you to be what God has called you to be. Passionate about it. So Lord Jesus, I bless your people here this morning. I pray that your presence would go with them this week, and that you would continue to unfold the call on their life. Shareba kantere. Seba kalabariku tarabashante. Father, I pray in South Florida you will raise up a movement that gives people liberty to be who they're called to be. Complete liberty. Complete liberty. That we could be the full expression of the body. We pray for a wave of salvations coming through South Florida, of people learning that they're fully free sons and daughters of God. Fully free sons and daughters of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that people would seek in this house how to express their gifting. I feel very strongly right now that there are people. The way up is down. The way up is down. And I don't know how to word this. You just have to figure it out. There's people in this room, and you're supposed to be in children's ministry. Just leave it like that. That's how God is going to activate your gifting. Now, if you can't, you know, pass a background check, you know, God will do something else. The way up is down. There's people in this room, you're like, I'm called to be an apostle. I'm like, amen. Maybe you should come early and put up the signs. Hallelujah. I'll leave it at that. Everybody, if you would just stand, I just want to bless you, and then I'll let anybody who needs to go, go. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I just bless these sitting under the sound of my voice. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your presence will go with them this week. Father, I ask that you will pour out your spirit upon them. Father, that a mighty wave of impartation would take over their life. Lord, that they would be the burning ember that their city needs. They would be the burning ember that their family needs. That they would bring revival to their workplace. They would bring revival to their neighborhood. They would bring revival to their family, Father. They would consider themselves the bishop of their friend group, Father. The people that they hang out with outside of church, that they would go there as a sent one, Father, to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, to bring the presence, to bring healing, to bring the fire, Father, to activate those who do not know you, that your fire would descend from heaven upon them and that burning ember would go with them. Father, that you would take the coal from the altar and you would light their mouth, Jesus. Ha! In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Can you give a shout to God? Now, if you're a first-time guest, I'm going to pray a little bit more in a second here, but if you're a first-time guest, you need to go. We love you. We're going to have somebody at the Next Steps table who would love to meet you. I will be there momentarily. If you need to go, we bless you. If you can just, you know, do that, do that, do that, do that. We love you. But I just want to pray a little bit more for about another 10 minutes. Is that okay? Play a little bit more there if you would. Can I get my life group leaders to come to the front? I want Delgados, why don't you guys just receive? I know you guys are getting ready for your trip. Kelly and Trav, can you come up and fill in for them? Pastor Tracy, you want to come on forward unless you're going to be at the Next Steps table? Hallelujah. I want to pray for everybody who feels called to full-time ministry. You feel called to vocational ministry. You think the Lord is going to raise you up, that you're going to be in vocational ministry. You feel called to preach. You feel called to the nations. You feel called to lay down your life for the work of the gospel. That may or may not mean any money. All right? Stay where you're at for a second. That may mean, whatever, and here's what that means. Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes, Lord. And what that means is you're going to give up your own control. Now, I want to say this. Don't come forward if you plan on wandering for the next 3 months. You don't feel like being planted in a local church under a pastor that you may or may not choose. That's not vocational ministry. That's called being a lone ranger. That doesn't work. That's not what we're talking about here. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray. Before you come forward, I want to pray. I want to pray. I want you to get touched. I want this to be different. I want this to be different. I want a counting of the cost. And what this means is when you leave here today, you're going to begin laying down some things that keep you from being in ministry. Like if you're not going to take corresponding actions today, I've just seen too many meetings where someone's waiting for Heidi Baker to lay hands on them, and so they can be a world-known missionary miracle worker, and then won't actually give up anything to do anything. I'm like, that's not likely to happen. I'm talking about lay down whatever plans you had. I'm talking, God says, why don't you go ahead and sell your car and drive a junky car so you can have more money for the poor. I'm talking about, hey, you know that great desire you have for new clothes? What about we don't buy new clothes for 5 years? What if that means you're going to get check to check, barely getting by for the next 10 years? What if that means that you're just not going to do anything you enjoy doing for the next 20? What if that means that you're just going to put yourself out? Oh, what if that means you're not going to serve your fear anymore, starting today? And I'm not saying he takes away the fear. I'm saying it's still there, but you don't serve it. What if that's what he's talking about? What if that means you're going to vote for somebody that you don't like because he told you to vote for them? What if you're pro-choice and he told you you're going to vote for a pro-life candidate, or you're pro-life and he told you to vote for a pro-choice candidate? Will you still do that because you've laid down your life for Jesus? I'm talking about right where you're at right now. Would you do that? Could Jesus be bigger than politics for you? Oh, it got quiet on that one. Kick a political demon in the mouth. That don't fly in this church. We didn't lay down Jesus for a political party in this church. That's a demon. Don't get caught up in it. I'm talking, will you lay your life down? Will you start a home group with nothing but homeless people? Would you do that today if he told you? Like tonight, you don't eat dinner alone because you have homeless people in your kitchen. talking about, will you say whatever you want for me, God? And I'm not challenging you to come forward. I'm saying don't come forward if that's not what you're signing up for. When you get called into vocational ministry, your life is not yours. You get the amazing blessing like 100 people are gossiping about you and it's all a lie and you don't protect yourself. I'm talking you're faithful to your wife, but people are saying you cheated on her. I'm talking someone's insecure, so they spread lies about a demon in your church when really they just have spirits of control. I'm talking all the wisdom says that you're doing stuff wrong, but you're just going to keep going with Jesus. I'm talking you see a bigger, brighter church down the street, but God, as you plant it, you're not going anywhere. Like you don't feel like waking up in the morning, but your church has morning intercession, so you're there. I'm just asking, what, if you're going to lay down your idols or not. This is what we're talking about right now. I'm not trying to get you to come forward. I'm trying to get you to not come forward. That's what I'm trying to accomplish right now. These are some of the signs that you're probably called. You let people rebuke you regularly. You don't protect yourself when leaders correct you. And if you're not tithing faithfully, just wait for the next one. Wait for the next call, because you haven't heard the call yet. That's the next altar call, probably. Unless you decide today you're going to start tithing faithfully, you're going to make up for what you didn't give. I'm serious right now. We got a bunch of ministers in this church. They show up here around 8:30, and they leave at 2. Because that's what service looks like. That's what it looks like to serve somebody. You're not serving yourself anymore. Your life is not your own. You're serving other people. Means you got a house in West Palm, but God's called you to Boca, and so you drive 4 times a week for meetings in Boca. That's what it looks like. So let's just pray now. Father, there are those in this room that you have called, Lord, and I'm going to send them around the world. And we're going to take over South Florida for your glory. South Florida is going to radiate with the glory of God from those who have laid down their life for you. I see it so clearly. The Lord has shown it so clearly to me. It is going to radiate with the glory of God. Some of your heart is beginning to burn right now because you're called. Some of your feet are on fire because you're called. Some of you feel the presence of God begin to land on top of your head like a crown, because you're called. I'm here to tell you, you can't make it happen faster, but you can slow it down. Wear your own crown instead of the one Jesus has given you. I'm going to pray in a moment. And when the presence comes upon you, I want you to wait now. When the presence comes upon you and you know this is you, you're called, you're willing to respond to the call. Not yet, when I pray. When you feel the heavy, heavy presence come upon you, you feel the weightiness, you feel a burning, an overwhelming fire come upon you. Not the normal, a weighty fire come upon you. When you feel the wind begin to shear, when you feel the Holy Ghost begin to wreck you, that's when I want you to come forward. Not yet, I'm going to pray. And when it begins to happen, I want you to come forward. Prayer team, we're not soaking. God's in it, he'll touch. Prayer team, if you have fear in your life right now, repent of it. There's got to be faith. I just feel like God's going to do something supernatural here. Diane, I need you to be over here. Some of you, the call of God right now is to get saved. And when I call people forward, Chelsea's right over there, and she's more than happy to bring you through the door, Christ Jesus. Let's begin to pray, Father. Father, I feel like I've tried to present an accurate picture. There's some who have no other choice. They just have no other choice. They have no other choice. There's no plan B. There's you. That's it. Right now, Holy Ghost of God, I pray that you would confirm the call of Christ Jesus upon your life right now. Burn it in them, Jesus. Burn it in them. Father. There it is right there. If that's you, I want you to come forward and we'll lay hands on you. We're just going to bless the call of God in your life right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on forward. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come forward. Hallelujah! 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 Lay hands, see, lay hands. Lay hands, see. Fire of God! Fire of God! Fire of God! Release it on them. Release it. Release it. Release it. Fire of God! Come forward, receive prayer if that's you. Now, everybody else, you know that you're called. God has called you. God has called you. God has called you. God has called you. Come forward, and the prayer team's going to lay hands on you. And they're going to bless the call of God in your life. Just come forward and stay there until someone prays for you. Move on. Travis, move on. Hallelujah. Jesus is going to do it. Come forward and just stand there until someone prays for you. Thank you, Lord. Come forward and line up. Let them touch you.